Morning, everyone. Welcome to everyone's here in person and everyone that's online. Wherever you're coming from, wherever you are bringing with you from this week, pray that you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. Only have a few announcements. The big one is after the service, I hope everyone can join us in Holman Hall for refreshments, which look pretty good. The playground equipment, I just give a small update. We have over $32,000 raised so far, which is really good. I'm impressed by that. Are there any other announcements for the good of the congregation? If not, we'll go to the prelude. Thank you, Marcus. Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, praise his name.
Proclaim God's salvation day after day.
We gather to render to God. To all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, welcomes you here and greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we might perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much in the desires and desires of our own hearts. We have offended your holy laws. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. Apart from your grace, there is no life in us. Have mercy on us, O God. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises, declared to all people, Jesus Christ. And grant that we live a holy, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. Almighty God, in his great mercy, gave Jesus Christ to die for us, and for Christ's sake, forgives us all our sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. O holy and gracious God, you did not stay far off from your creation in a heaven far away, but you condescended and revealed yourself to us, those made in your image. And in various times and by various means, you spoke your word which is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so, God, as we turn to your word recorded in sacred scripture, speak to us again. Speak to us your word of grace, your word of promise, your word of truth. And so by it, revive us again. All this we pray in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're continuing our series through the Psalms. I want to give you a bit of a warning, maybe I'll call it. Psalms 5, 6, and 7 are pretty deep, pretty raw, and pretty uncomfortable to read sometimes. I'll just tell you that as I've been looking ahead. They're a little uncomfortable. But we have to remember, like I said at the beginning of our series, the Psalms encompass the whole of human emotions. So from the greatest joy you've ever felt to the rock bottom you've ever experienced, you'll find it in the Psalms. And for this week and the next 2 weeks, we will be sort of sitting in that depth, the rock bottomness that the psalmist and David have experienced. So I just want to give you that as a warning. So as we come to these things, we remember that this is God speaking to us, but this is also us speaking to God, and that he holds all these things, even our worst fears and our worst experiences, in his loving care. But today we turn and hear God's word recorded in Psalm 5. Listen now. To the leader, for the flutes, a psalm of David. Listen to my words, O Lord. Attend to my sighing. Listen to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I plead my case to you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil will not sojourn with you. The boastful will not stand before you, before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple in awe of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouths. Their hearts are destruction. Their throats are open graves. They flatter with their tongues. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels, because because of their many transgressions. Cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them so that those who love your name may exalt in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover them with favor as with a shield. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Psalms confront us with a particular worldview. The Psalms confront us with a particular worldview. Now, just for definition of terms, a worldview is just that, a view of the world, how we understand the world works, the inherent values and norms of the world, a vision for what should be, not necessarily what is, what should be. Every person and culture has a worldview, and it influences how we live, how we face reality. The Psalms present us at their most basic level with what we might call a theistic worldview, that there is a God, that this God distinguishes between right and wrong, and that this God expects us to do the same. By contrast, scholars have characterized the worldview of our modern day. Some people might call it the philosophical underpinning, if you want to go that far, but the worldview of our modern day as seeing no room for God, or at least not for a God who cares for and intervenes in our lives. The Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor describes this worldview as the immanent frame. So it's an understanding that sees all of reality as only contained in the natural world, without any recourse to the transcendence or to any kind of higher power. This is the guiding presupposition of our times. And Taylor argues that it makes belief that God answers prayer, God punishes evil, God blesses people, makes that outdated and even irrelevant. Now, this secular worldview might work when things are going well. Our minds aren't really bothered when we can go about our lives with relative ease. The problem is when things aren't going so well, when we face real strife, even real evil, this view, in my mind, comes to a dead end. If reality is just confined to the natural world, those things that we see around us, there is no real recourse from evil, no ultimate justice in the face of injustice. And in these times when we see real strife, even in our own backyards, when there is violence and warfare, sickness, death, and more, this worldview falls short of providing a satisfying answer. It offers no real hope in the face of real evil. So now, as we come to our text with this in mind, Psalm 5 is really inviting us to enter into a different view, really into what we can call the biblical worldview, to see through the psalmist's eyes, as it were, and see how there is hope in the brokenness and how this hope can become ours. You see, the psalmist in our text is in a state of despair, as he often is. We don't know the exact details, but we know that he's being hounded by enemies. It may have to do with slander or false accusations. We see in verse 9 that he talks about their throats being open graves and their tongues that flatter, so it may have to do with slander against him. In any case, the situation has brought him to the end of his rope, so he calls on the Lord. Listen to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. This gets at the core assumption of the whole Bible, that the Lord, that is Yahweh, alone reigns over all. We are not independent in and of ourselves because there is one and only one who is ultimate over all. In the moment of his greatest need, the psalmist takes his cause to the only one with ultimate authority. And he does so because of who this God is. We see at the very beginning, this is not a God who delights in wickedness, but instead hates evil. The Lord does not let the unjust stand, but makes them fall by their own counsel. That is, he lets them take their actions to their logical conclusion, their own destruction. What the psalmist recognizes is that the God who reigns is utterly just, utterly just. He does not let evil and injustice remain, but brings his judgment to bear. Remember God's words in Romans 12, verse 19, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." So in the biblical worldview, Psalm 5 shows us there is ultimate justice. There is ultimate justice that even as the evil powers and principalities in our world's rage, they will not have the final word. The one who is king brings his justice to bear on the evildoer. And to us who know God as revealed in Jesus Christ, we see this biblical reality taken further, because it's not only that justice comes into the world, but it's that in Jesus Christ, God is transforming the world to be more just. We hear the words of our Savior in John 16, "Take courage, I have overcome the world." And we know that the King is making his righteous reign our lived reality. In a world when we can only see injustice, there is real justice. Now, Psalm 5 also shows us that just as there is real justice, there is real grace. There is real grace. The psalmist, in crying out to the Lord, recognizes his own position before God. He says this, "But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house." He has access to God. He has the favor and protection of God. And not because of anything within himself, but because of the steadfast love of the Lord alone. This is grace. The session and I are reading a book, and in this book it described the difference between grace and mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. That is God's justice. And grace is getting what we could never deserve. Acceptance. Adoption as sons and daughters of the Most High. The wicked shall not stand before God, but the ones whom he loves will come into his house. They'll come and know him intimately. The evil will be cast out, but those who are made righteous by God are welcomed and ever sing for joy. In the biblical worldview, there is grace available to us. The just King of the universe is also the one who loves and redeems. Those sins and failures which once kept us at arm's length, which once maybe made us recipients of God's justice, these are all now swept away, and we are brought close the abundance of his love. This, all this God accomplished in Jesus. As the book of Hebrews reminds us, Jesus entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Christ shed his blood on the cross and entered in so that by grace we would enter into God's presence and share in all God's benefits. There is real grace. Psalm 5 presents us with a worldview that is up to the task in meeting the realities of our world. The unjust powers will be brought to justice, and we will be met with God's grace in our moment of need. Friends, this is real hope for a weary world. This is real hope for those under oppression. This is real hope for those racked with the feeling of helplessness in the face of disaster. This is real hope for those who long for a better world. That there is justice, that there is grace, and we can live in that freedom. Now, this doesn't mean that we are passive in the face of evil. We're not waiting for some pie in the sky, some better place in the great by and by, any of that. But because we have real hope, because we know that God is just and gracious, we can stand against evil as those claimed by the just and gracious King. This is why the psalmist prays, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Make your way straight before me." We live this hope, which is not yet realized, but we live knowing that this reality will be ours in Jesus Christ, that we walk God's way as those redeemed. My friends, this is real hope. This is the hope our weary world longs for, and this hope is available to us only in Jesus. So this day, enter his presence, put your trust in Christ, and find in him justice to meet our unjust world and grace to lift you up in your hour of need. Since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Amen. Thank you. Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our good and gracious God, in Jesus Christ, you show us that there is real justice, which meets the injustice of our world, and real grace, which gives us life when all we feel and experience is death. Grant that we would face the troubles of our time with faith, hope, and love, turning first to him who has overcome the world, and then turning to those in greatest need. Hear us now as we pray and lift before you our cares. God of compassion, we remember before you the poor and the afflicted, the sick and the dying, prisoners and all who are lonely, the victims of war, injustice, and inhumanity, and all others who suffer from whatever their suffering may be called. O Lord of Providence, holding the destiny of the nations in your hands, we pray for our country. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders, that they, together with all of us, may seek first your kingdom and righteousness, so that liberty and peace may dwell in your people. O God, the Creator, we pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that divide your creatures, and increase in us the recognition that we are all made in your image. O Savior God, look upon your church in her struggle upon the earth. Have mercy on her weakness, bring an end to her unhappy divisions, and scatter her fears. Look also upon the ministry of this church, which you have called Hebron. Increase our courage, strengthen our faith, and inspire our witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. Author of grace and God of love, send your Holy Spirit's blessing to your children here present. Keep our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son, our only Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our debts,
as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Often as a child, I was confused when the offering was taken up after the sermon or before communion. It sort of felt like pay your way, right? You got to put a little in the plate and you get the blessings, right? We often think about this time of offering as, well, we pass the plates and we put our money in, and maybe if we don't have money, we've put our online giving in or some other thing. You know, it's very money-centric. But really, the reason that we do this offering after the sermon is a response of our whole lives to God. It's not just that stewardship, that offering is about the money we give, the resources that we give, but it's about dedicating our entire lives to God. We don't really have altar calls here in the Presbyterian Church, because every week you are called to offer your lives to God afresh. And so as we come to offering, as we pass the plates, and as we do dedicate the resources God has given us to God, back to Him, let's also take this time and rededicate our life and our labors, everything that we do, as a fragrant offering unto Him.
Father,
everlasting God, we take this time to dedicate ourselves afresh to your service, knowing that everything we have and everything that we are is a mighty and precious gift from you. And so we take from this overflow and we give it back to you. And we do this by the sign of what we put in the plates, but also what we offer up in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to be good stewards of the gifts you give for the building up of your kingdom, for the proclamation of the gospel, and for the glory of your name. All through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Real hope to face the reality of our world. There is real justice to face the injustice we see. There is real grace to lift us up and give us life. And it is found in Jesus Christ. So go from this place in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so love and serve him. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.